Now, one thing I wanted to, in just preparing for this and meditating on these notes, one thing that, and talking about fruitfulness, you will have to agree that everything that God created is meant to produce something. You know, if you go to the very first, do me a favor, hold your finger in John just for a second, and go over to the first chapter of Genesis. In the beginning, everything that God created, what did he say? Be fruitful and multiply. Everything he did, everything he created. I mean, you go right down verse after verse. I mean, look at verse 11. He said, and God said, he said, let the what? The earth bring forth. That means bring forth, do something. Not just be idle, right? Amen. And it said, it responded when he spoke. What did it say in verse 12? And the earth brought forth. You go down, you can look at, what else we have here? We have verse 20. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. And they did. And you can go down, and what did he say? He said to man, after he created man, he said, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and just hang around. Multiply. Amen. So God, let's go back to John 15. So you can see everything that God produced, he does what? He expects something to be produced. Amen. That's why in some ways it's an abomination to God. You can just go right to the first chapter of Genesis when he said to man, be fruitful and do what? Multiply. That's why, you know, we don't have to fight about what's going on in society where you have man marrying man and women marrying men. Look, we love people, but it's an abomination to God when God says, I've created everything to produce fruit. And when something doesn't, you can go in Jesus' ministry. What did he do? When that fig tree didn't produce, what did he do? He cursed it. Right. Amen. It wasn't good. Right. We're not saying people aren't good, things aren't good, but when something doesn't produce, it's not godly, it's not godlike. Amen. Because everything that God created is what? Good. Amen. That means people are good. Yes. They may not act good, but what God created is good. We may act nutty sometimes. And he helps us, right? He helps us get unnutty. John 15, looking in verse 1. I am the true vine. Who's he talking about here? Jesus. And my Father is the husbandman. That'd be the gardener. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, or you could say he prunes it. How many horticulturists we have in here? None. Okay. How many like to fuss around with plants and things? Well, I guess you're a horticulturist. Amen. But that, you know, anybody that does work around plants and trees, you know they need, there needs weeds to be pulled and things need to be trimmed so that what? They can be more fruitful, more productive. Have more buds, more flowers, whatever. And verse 3, it says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I like that. This says, when are you clean? It says now. Right now, ye are clean through the word. Hallelujah. You're not going to get, that means you are. Right now, you've been cleaned up. Once you've received Christ, you're clean. Amen. which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, or you could say as a source. It can't produce that. It has to be connected. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And I shared last week, this answers a lot of questions. If we don't stay connected to the vine, our source of life, our source of everything comes from the vine. If we don't stay connected, we can become withered, and as I put in, weak. And this says here, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Who's glorified? The Father is glorified. So shall ye be my disciples. Verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So it's important that we understand that we've been what? It says here, we've been chosen and ordained. I like what some other translations, this is the Voice translation, it says, you did not choose me, I chose you, and I orchestrated all of this so that you would be sent out and bear great and perpetual fruit. That means fruit that remains. The complete Jewish Bible says, I chose you and I have commissioned you to go and bear fruit, fruit that lasts. So we've been commissioned, that means we have authority, and we've been sent to go and produce fruit. We know the Great Commission, go ye into all the world, and do what? Make disciples of all men. And so we've been commissioned to go out and bear fruit. You can write this down. This is Colossians 1:10. It says, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. So we're to be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So there's precedent here we can see right from the beginning of the book, right from the beginning of the Bible. God desires fruitfulness. And he don't take kindly to when we're not fruitful. It says the branch is removed. That doesn't sound too good. I'd rather be pruned, wouldn't you? I want to bring forth more fruit. So pruning pinches. Pruning, you know, cuts. But it helps in the long run. I remember growing up, my father graduated college as a horticulturist. And so I was around pruning trees and flowers and all of that stuff. So I used to look and go, oh my God, what's he doing to that tree? And then you'd see the effect of the pruning. And you go, oh. And all of the other things that he would do, I just saw in the natural what pruning does. And so we can see here that the Lord desires that if we're bearing fruit, that we're going to be pruned or purged. And it says, so that we can bring forth more fruit, but it also said here, ye are what? Now ye are clean. You know, if you look up that word clean, it means to be, I like this, it says, version of this, it says, like a vine cleansed by pruning and so fitted to bear fruit. That's what the word clean means. It means purified. So really, when he says, now ye are clean through the word, you could say purged. Or pruned. Wouldn't you say that? That's true. We're pruned and purged, how? From the Word. The Word of God will reveal something to us and say, that's what the Word says. The entrance of His Word brings light or brings revelation, and God will show us something in our life that we need to correct and fix, right? And that's pruning, that's purging, so that we can do what? Be more productive for Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're going to move on here. I want to cover some things here. Here's another scripture verse here, just for a reference here. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, fruitful, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." So we can see here that every scripture is what? God breathed. And so it reveals and it corrects and it reproofs us and it instructs us. Hallelujah. So He expects that we do what? We produce more fruit. And the time that we're living in, we don't just want to be busy, and we were covering this last week, it's not just being busy and doing a lot of things for God, it's making sure that He directs us in that so that we're not just busy doing things, because in the scripture, in 1 Corinthians 3, it talks about, it says in verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." And then it goes on and it talks about Paul here writing and saying, "I've laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon." So we need to labor together with God. We don't just need to be busy doing a lot of things, but we're working together with Him so that the work that we do produces fruit that does what? It remains. Hallelujah. So it goes on and it says, "So now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, it says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is." And then it goes on in verse 15, "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So that means everything that we do is going to be tested by fire. And we want to make sure that the work that we're doing is directed by God so that it will not be burned up, so that there'll be a reward, right? Is everybody here? You're not too excited about that. you don't want loss. You want to be rewarded. You want to be entering into heaven with some reward, right? Amen. I thought everybody, they weren't too excited about that. I'm excited about getting a reward. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we looked at, when we talk about abiding, the Weiss translation says that we're to maintain a living communion. So that's really what we're talking about, is that when we abide in Him and He in us, it's maintaining this living communion with God. And in doing that, He will direct us. He will show us what to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I want to just jump today, and if you would, turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 1. And I want to look at some. something that always excited me. And I'm going to read from verse 1 down through verse 11. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. How is grace and peace going to be multiplied? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us great, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you. These things will make you that you shall neither be what? Barren, nor what? Unfruitful. So we're talking about fruitfulness. This should excite us right here, because if we do these things and we abound in them, then we'll neither be barren nor unfruitful. In what? In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was what? Purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Never fall. That's kind of a strong statement, isn't it? If you do these things, ye shall never fall. I tell you, when you read that, you go, is that possible? Is it possible? Must be. Must be. Now, we've all fallen in some measure. We've all made some mistakes. So maybe we ought to look at this and we ought to add to and do these seven things so that we can grow and not be barren nor unfruitful, and we shall never fall. So that means we've got some work to do, don't we? On ourselves. We've got some personal assessment to do and see where we're doing good, where we're not doing so good, where we need to grow. Every one of us. Because every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Well, if we're here, he hasn't taken us away. That means we must be bearing fruit. That means we need to be pruned. Need some clipping. So when you look at this, go back and look at verse 5. It says, and beside this, giving all diligence. That's an interesting word to use, giving all diligence. When you look in a number of translations, let me read what that means in other modern translations. It says, make, most of the translations say, make every effort to do these things. One translation says, try your hardest. Huh, are we doing that? Are we trying our hardest to do this? One translation says, do your best, or do all you can. to do this. It's interesting, isn't it? So just because the garden was clean, just because we've been cleansed, it doesn't mean a garden can't get overgrown with some things and doesn't need pruning, right? That means all of us. Just because anybody's done some gardening, you know weeds are cropping up. Even when you put mulch down, seeds drop in the mulch, and you think, finally, no weeds. Bing! Where'd that come from? Seeds. You know what's interesting? When you think about this, what does Genesis 8 say? As long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest. Guess what? We gonna have seeds, we gonna have weeds. Because as long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest. Hallelujah. So as long as this earth remains, there's going to be some pruning. As long as we remain here, we're going to need some pruning and growing. Hallelujah. But if we do those things, we'll never fall. Hallelujah. Think about this for a second. I'm just going to give you some thoughts to chew on here. Think about the sower in Mark 4. See, the sower sowed the word, and he sowed seeds of the word. But let me read this to you, Mark 4:18. You don't have to turn there, and it said, "And these are they which are sown among thorns." These are seeds sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. See? So what it's telling us is, even though we've been cleaned, things, the cares of this world and the lusts of other things entering in, if there's not this cleaning and pruning, it can do what? Choke the word and your fruitfulness, and you can become unfruitful. See? So we need some work. We all need some work. Amen. So we need to find out about these seven different areas that are added to our faith. Let's look at that. I'm going to look at this in the Amplified, because I like the way the Amplified does that. From verse 5, it says, "For this very reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises," I like what this, the way the Amplified reads. It says, "Employ every effort in exercising your faith." See, just back up and stop a second. We've got these seven things or areas that need to be added to what? Our faith. So you could have these seven areas, but if you don't have faith, operating in faith, it's not going to work. So faith is key here. So it says here, exercising your faith to develop virtue. And virtue is excellence. Say excellence. Excellence, resolution, Christian energy. Isn't that interesting? It's also, we could say, moral goodness or moral excellence. Some of the translations, most of them say, add moral excellence to your faith. Some say excellence of character. Some say, the Message translation says, complementing your basic faith with good character. So these things are going to come. How are they going to come? This is going to come from the word being sown into our lives and affecting us in such a way that it affects our moral good character, our excellence, our resolution, that we don't just tolerate, what's the best way I could say this? When we talk about resolution, I'm not just going to sit back and tolerate less. And just be satisfied with something that's not excellent. God is excellent. His name is excellent. His spirit is excellent. And they live in us. So why should I live a life that's less than who's in me? Right? So we should not just be satisfied with less than the best. The best of God, the best of his presence, the best of his nature in me and working in me. And if it's not, then I need to do what? Prune. Snip. Right? Ask God for some help. The NIV says, add to your faith goodness. Hallelujah. So let me go back up and read this again. It says to add to your faith, exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy. And in exercising that, your virtue, develop, so I like this word develop. That means there's some work involved. Develop knowledge, and it says intelligence. That means your knowledge of the word. And in exercising knowledge, develop self-control. And in exercising self-control, develop steadfastness or patience or endurance. And in exercising steadfastness, develop godliness or piety. In exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection. And in exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love. For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful under the full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And at the end of this, I'm not going to read the rest, but at the end it says, for if you do these things or do this, you will never stumble or fall. That means you won't even stumble. Man, I'm telling you, that's God's given us the formula here to live a fruitful, overcoming life. Never stumble, never fall. Hallelujah. Let me read something here. Just, you don't need to turn to these, but Psalm 8, verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Psalm 143, it says, his name alone is excellent. He's excellent. And we're called by that name. Hallelujah. Hebrews 1:4, being made so much better than the angels, he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. We produce after its own kind. So when we get his word in us, we become more like him. Excellent in character and excellent in our resolution. Hebrews 8:6, but now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry. Hebrews 11:4, by faith Abel, listen to that, you know this, Abel offered unto God a what? A more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Oh, interesting, right? Second Peter 1:17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. Whew. His glory is excellent. Hallelujah. So we have his spirit in us, and the spirit of God, his spirit is excellent. His name is excellent. His spirit is excellent. The Father is excellent. And we have his excellence in us. His glory is excellent. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:17, you know this prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Hallelujah. May give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So excellence added, or virtue added to our faith, will make us more fruitful. The word excellence really means to go beyond, to outdo. If you're excellent in something, that means it's surpassing. It's abounding. Would you not say? If something is excellent, that means it's superior. Right? That means you're not satisfied with just so-so. You're not satisfied. Because you have that spirit of excellence inside you. You don't need to just get by. There should be something in you that just says, I'm not satisfied with this. Now, you may not have it, but you're not satisfied until you get it. You understand what I mean? So don't let anybody just say, hey, we can't get that. You know, you're just going to have to make do. No. No. Because I have his nature in me. I've got the nature of excellence in me. And he's given me everything through his exceeding great and precious promises to be excellent and superior in life. Like him. Amen. And it's not godly. This is what we're saying here. You think about this. People who don't strive to be superior, they fall. They fall what? They fall to that lie. Amen. So we should always, we may not be living it right now, but you can be not satisfied. And you can say, I'm going to pursue until I have it. Amen. Hallelujah. Think about this. God never says we don't serve a God who's unable to come up to what we can expect or could expect. What? He never does God say, this is the best I can do. I'll give you a scripture. You want a scripture? Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able. He's able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask. Hallelujah. And when that nature's in me, I am going to do exceeding abundantly above. Hallelujah. That's what you add, that spirit of excellence and resolution, you add to that and exercise it. You add it to your faith, and you're doing what? You're exercising that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Don't settle for less than God's best. He provided for it. He gave it to us through his son. So don't settle. Keep striving for that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So don't live a lifestyle of settling for less, because he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not to thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll do what? Direct your paths to good things, to superabundant things in life. Hallelujah. To excellence. But you've got to have that resolve and resolution and that, what I call character, that I'm not going to settle. You know, I think about it here. You know, I had many tasks to do in this ministry, and I always, this was my thinking all the time. How can I do this faster, quicker, more productively? Always thinking that. Thinking, can I get a computer program to do this? Can I do this? Can I do that? Let me see if I can take on more. Because when we redeem the time, we're more productive. And I would always think that. And so there was this never satisfied inside me. Never was. You know, you reach a wall at some point. You reach a point where it's just physically, you can't work constantly, but you keep striving, where we don't just say, well, what do I have to do? No. What's the minimum requirement? No. And the world is like that. What do I have to do to just get by? No, that's not the God nature. No. Here's another scripture verse here. Galatians 6 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Or you could say excellence. And faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So within us has been deposited these things in us, but they need to be what? Exercised. That's what the Amplified says. We need to exercise them, and they need to be added to our faith. Amen. And so we should never be satisfied. And we should always be looking for ways to improve, especially in this particular area where we're just not satisfied with just less than God's best. That's a spirit of excellence. Amen. That's a virtue, or we could say it's your character, your moral excellence. And of course, we also know that means, you know, it has to do with your character. But it just means you're not satisfied. And I would encourage all of us, you know, do a checkup. You know, we were talking on Wednesday about redeeming the time. That time is precious. That's something that we have that once we lose it, you can't get it back. And so we need to make the most of our time that we have available to us. We all have the same 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's what we're doing with it that makes a difference. Amen. So I encourage you, and we're going to pick up again and cover the rest of these particular seven areas: virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Amen. Because if we exercise these, and it says we add them to, then we'll never fall or stumble. We add them to our faith. So it's good to meditate on this and look at this, because I'm about not stumbling and falling. I don't know about you, but I don't like stumbling and falling. How about you? No. Because God, I'm telling you, there's a world out there that's waiting and looking and really a lot of people, not just young people or younger, but even older, are tired with life. And that's unfortunate. They're just mentally tired. They're fatigued. There's all these things going on in the world. They don't know what's going on. And so there's what? No hope. So they don't have any hope. So it's just go to work, come home, same old, you know what you hear. What are you doing? Same old, right? Or what's the word? I don't like this. I'm just killing time. Oh, man. Lord, have mercy. I'm just killing time. No. See, if you have a spirit of excellence, then you're looking for every opportunity to be productive with our time and everything our set our hands to, because what? I'm partnering with God. I'm laborers with God. Amen. Glory to God. Hope you got something out of that today. Amen. Because we are going to, and I believe, sincerely believe, that this congregation is going to produce more fruit, and fruit that's remaining and perpetual, because we've been sitting and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word, and guess what? God is sitting back there as the gardener, and he's saying, give me some fruit. He's saying, give me, it's time to give me some fruit now. I expect you to produce. Amen. I've been tending you, I've been nurturing you, and now it's time to produce. Amen. And we may have been producing, but there's a world that needs to be reached, and God is going to give us ideas and witty ideas on how to do it, and we need to just be available and willing. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I'm ready to go. It's just whatever. I'm unhooking and going. I'm all out, both feet in. Amen. It's what we do for him that's going to matter. Remember, everything, all your works, everything you do, every moment of every day is going to be tested by fire. And that which doesn't get burnt up and remains will be rewarded. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you that we endeavor to be good stewards of the time that we have. And we thank you for the faith that we have. We thank you that we have the faith of God, and that we endeavor to add moral excellence and exercise it and add it to our faith. And we thank you, Father, that as we study these other characteristics and areas, and as we develop them and exercise them, that we will not fall or stumble. And we thank you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God.